flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Okay, business leaders, are you playing defense or are you on the offense? Are you just, excuse me, hey, I'm trying to talk business here. As I was saying, are you here just to play or are you playing to win? If you're in it to win, meet your next MVP, NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is your full business management system in one suite. With NetSuite, you're running your accounting, your financials, HR, e-commerce, and more, all from your online dashboard. One source of truth means every department's working from the same numbers with no data delays. And with AI embedded throughout, you're automating manual tasks, plus getting fast insights for your next move. Whether you're competing on your home turf or looking to conquer international markets, NetSuite helps you get the W. Over 40,000 businesses have already made the move to NetSuite, the number one cloud ERP.
Right now, get the CFO's Guide to AI and Machine Learning at netsuite.com/special. Get this free guide at netsuite.com/special.
Okay, guys.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton bedding from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and breathable sheets. You'll experience pure comfort on night one and feel your bedding get softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first order at BollandBranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. All right, so how long? About a half hour ago, I tweeted out, what's the bigger deal, Quan Martin pick six or Mikey Sammerstill two INTs? We got about 2,000 votes in a half hour. This thing is pretty damn split. 51.5% says Quan pick six. 48.5% says Mikey. And I got this reply from Kibos12. He said, am I crazy for saying the Dorrance Armstrong sack fumble was the most impactful turnover? Because that completely changed the course of the game. Yeah. Detroit looked like they were going to score. It would have been 14-3.
That was a great one, too. I think you could probably take it. You could give anybody some credit. I'll say the thing about Sammerstill having two interceptions. He basically took a touchdown away from them.
Sure.
And it was a damn perfect setup. And then the other one, he's falling backwards to the sideline and he caught it. I would give him the edge because he had two of them. And the other two are basically a tie in my book. When you look at Dorrance and all, because Dorrance had two sacks yesterday.
Yeah.
He was on one, dog. He was ready.
It was it's like trying to pick your favorite kid. Like, they played so well and there were so many big moments that you don't really have to pick, which is kind of the best part of this. We're going to open these phone lines up. I want to just check in on the aquarium real quick. And I'm going to check in. First, we'll check in on the stream. Is it Strizzy again? Do I even need to scroll to the top?
It was not Strizzy today.
Who was it?
Oh, all right. I'm scrolling. Don't tell me, White Brian. All right, I'm scrolling. If you want to be on the stream, it's 106.7 The Fan on YouTube.
Who was second in?
Jim D. And all he said was, wow.
Who was second?
Jupe. Strizzy must be in jail.
Y'all said y'all was making it, that y'all named it after Strizzy. So Strizzy like, hey, I was so damn good, I got the award named after me. I don't have to do it anymore.
How about this? Jim D was first. He just said, wow. Then Jupe said, Timothy Daniels, Hot Pockets.
He said, Strizzy said y'all told him not to play.
Then Tay, he said, they are who we thought they were. Jim D said, I'm first. Cody Shook was actually fifth, claimed he was first. And then Strizzy commented. So who is it? Jim D? Is Jim D the guy today, White Brian?
Yeah.
Yep. First of the year for him.
All right.
They look kind of cut out in the fly here, Jay.
That is give the person credit. That shirt is dope.
Let me show the people the back.
Yeah, if you're on the street, look at B's shirt. Hold on. B making a Sir Mix-a-Lot music video
here.
Yeah, it's dope. I'm trying to help you with your stream.
Yeah, he hooked it up.
Who is – tell him. Oh, they even got the Plaquemine High School on there?
Plaquemine High School. Got my college on here.
Is that – I want a T-shirt with just the Pepper logo.
Yeah, Louisiana.
Does that exist?
Yeah.
That is dope.
Yeah, Louisiana. Hot Pepper, baby.
I am I'm wearing an NFLPA hoodie given to me by a former NFLPA staffer. If you're ever curious if I side with management or labor. We'll start with White Brian because he's so compelling. Brian, you are a Philly native that roots for the Giants that now lives in D.C. Commanders, Eagles for the NFC title game. Is this your worst nightmare?
No, the Cowboys would be much worse. Cowboys, Eagles. But this is close.
Okay. You know, somebody from the NFC East going to the Super Bowl.
Yep.
Is pretty damn cool. There was a period
of
time.
It used to be like that back in the day.
Right.
If you won the NFC East, you're probably going to make it to the Super Bowl.
NFC Beast, then it was NFC Least, and it sure seems like it's coming back.
On the way back, baby.
Now, Ben is in for Jeff. Jeff got butt sick. Jeff got this stomach virus that's going around. Whenever you notice me legitimately not calling Jeff out, it's because he's actually sick.
Yeah.
I hope he's all right. Jeff,
I hope he has another room that his favorite room is not the bathroom all day.
Well, I saw him tweeting out for what should he eat with a stomach virus. Ginger ale and saltines, dog.
Yeah.
Don't push it. In his place is Ben. Ben last week was wearing a very dope old school Redskins starter jacket. Ben, how fired up are you, bud?
I got that same jacket on the chair right behind me. So you tell me how fired up I am.
How old are you, Ben?
Oh, I'm 21. I'm a senior at the University of Maryland.
All right.
Go Terps. You are 21 years old. Is this the absolute peak of your burgundy and gold fandom?
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't really get any better than this, at least for me. And it's kind of special in a way, just because all of my life the organization was defined by failure, ineptitude, and now to kind of have it all culminate with this year in my last year of college, everyone's gotten riled up about it in College Park. It's been special.
Let me ask you this, because we did this on the show maybe last summer or something. It's definitely a summer topic, but there was a period of time, probably a long period of time, where the University of Maryland and College Park would have had the most Redskins fans of any of the local colleges, right? And I think as the Ravens have gotten bigger and as Maryland's gotten less in-state, I feel like, I now think that title has gone to a Virginia school, whether it's Virginia Tech or JMU, I think it'd be one of those two. What is the Commanders, Redskins, Burgundy and Gold fandom like in College Park these days, Benny?
Well, let me put it this way. I'm seeing a lot of jerseys on people that I've never seen wear them before. I've seen a lot of people I've known over the 4 years never talk about the Commanders or the Redskins. I've never even seen them care about football. Now all of a sudden they have Jaden Daniels jerseys. They're reposting the wins on their stories. They're posting videos of them screaming at Seastone and Bents over the Commanders game. So things might be shifting a little bit. I was out and about last night for that Ravens-Bills game. There's a ton of Ravens fans, obviously. And, you know, I'm not a Ravens guy myself. I believe in the DMV supremacy, Washington-Baltimore, best rivalry in the world, in my opinion. So it was good to see Baltimore go down, at least for me and a lot of people that have been in my face for years about the Ravens being better. They can't say anything to me today.
Tell them we got room. We're going to bring back Tony Kornheiser's bandwagon. We got room. Come on over here.
Did I tell you? Have I ever told you this? So it was January of 92.
Mm-hmm.
I went to Bethesda Elementary. And I don't know if they did this throughout the DMV or inside the Beltway or what, but Kornheiser's bandwagon. Thank you, Ben. That was great, bud. Kornheiser's bandwagon had become such a big thing in town because he was writing that column week after week. And to a young guy like Ben, you can't understand what the power of the Washington Post was back then.
It was the stuff.
There was no internet. Like, everybody, legitimately, everybody I knew got the newspaper delivered to their house. And everybody I knew read the Post sports section and watched George Michael. That's, like, what you did back then. And we got to school the Monday of Super Bowl week, B, and every desk in the school had this bandana with a drawing of Tony Kornheiser's Redskins bandwagon going to Minnesota. And it was like this bus with players. It was unbelievable. And obviously it's not there. That was Super Bowl week. Nobody's there yet. But it's the first time in so long. I took the girls. So I landed yesterday morning and tried to give my wife a break. And we went to Tasty Diner. Mm-hmm. And then we went to the grocery store. Just trying to kill some time. Tasty Diner. Everybody's talking Skins.
Right there, but
that's yeah. My guys that some of the guys that they're doing the line cooking immediately start asking about it.
So Zinsbro just put the Sports Machine and Washington Post. If you don't get it, you don't get it.
Yo, that's remember what that that's what saying. It was that back was then, saying. Man. Yeah. Everybody's talking Skins. My waitress, who I've known 20 years or whatever, mm-hmm. is wearing her 91 Super Bowl sweatshirt.
Wow.
The guys behind the counter, because this is before kickoff, they're like, who's the better matchup, Eagles or Rams? And I don't know. McVay is better, but Philly's roster's loaded. They're playing Philly now. It doesn't matter. We get to the grocery store, and everybody I see has burgundy and gold on, B. Like, yeah. I saw my boy Austin Flazer. He's wearing a Commander's hat. The guys working there are all wearing various levels.
All in the stuff.
Dude, it feels different.
It feels like it did back in the day. I'm telling you, man. It's a lot of similarities. A lot of similarities.
Hell yes. And I know I asked for callers and didn't take any, but we got all day, baby. We're taking calls all the way till 2 o'clock. When we come back, Jupe is on the line. We got a victory ritual to get to. Nobody go anywhere.
All right.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
It's 1 o'clock on Monday, January 20th. Today is Martin Luther King Jr. Day, yeah. Celebrating the life and accomplishments of probably our country's greatest civil rights advocate ever. Today is also Inauguration Day. Looks like Capitol Hill is clearing out. Let's hope everything is safe and happy for all those that are celebrating.
I'm just saying, ask you one thing. Everybody wearing regular suits walking outside, right?
Yeah, no coats.
They talking about somebody moving inside because it's going to be some crazy
the weather. People that are outside look cold, though. Maybe they subscribe to your theory, B. Never wear a coat in the cold because you're not going to be outside that long.
There you go.
Dude, I tried that in Detroit. I didn't really bring a coat. Not the best move.
Because you got outside long.
Well, I couldn't get close enough to the damn stadium that I had to walk like 10, 15 minutes. It was so cold. There's a lot of history today, a lot of things to celebrate. But in our universe, in the universe of the B. Mitchell Finley program, the fact that the Commanders are in the NFC title game for the first time in 34 years is by far the top of the list.
And you know the first time I thought about the college playoff tonight?
10 minutes ago?
When you told me about it. I had totally forgotten about that. I am so engulfed in this team playing so well and doing what they're doing. I totally forgot about that.
Cool, because we got plenty to discuss.
Yes.
Yo, you know what I haven't thought about once?
What?
The first round draft pick.
Nah.
Although I do keep waiting for Doc Walker's mock draft. I don't know why he hasn't sent it yet.
That's KS.
I don't know why he hasn't sent it yet.
That's KS, man. That's not Doc.
You want to see an awesome text message? So I texted Doc over the weekend. We were in Detroit, and this is me just being a punk. I texted Doc Friday at 10:15. Hey, how's the mock draft coming? He replied Saturday morning, the Raiders are interviewing ex-Commanders and Panthers head coach Ron Rivera for their head coaching duties. Touche, Doc, touche.
There you go.
B. Mitch and Finley is brought to you by Rude HVAC Equipment. Head over to Rude.com to find a contractor near you. If it ain't Rude, Bri,
it ain't right.
Plus, if you are looking, if you're driving around on Sunday, we are going to be live all damn day for this NFC title game. Coverage starts live on 106.7 The Fan at 9 a.m. You can listen to the game here, Westwood One coverage. Westwood One does a phenomenal job broadcasting NFL games, and we'll have post-game with the DOC.
Yeah.
Going to be dope. But as we do.
I went on with Doc before the game.
Okay, Doc did pregame maybe? Because that was a late
game. I did
like
a three-something hit with him.
Okay. I did.
It was fun.
I did 7:30 with Denton and Linnell from the press box.
I was sitting in the lobby.
All right.
Of the hotel.
We got an Amazon driver in Laurel on line 6. Hello, sir.
What's
or
up,
ma'am.
Brother?
How do you do?
Hey, guys. How's everybody today?
Oh, we're good, man. How you doing?
Let me turn this heat down for a second. I'm doing great. First of all, I want to apologize to anybody I delivered to Laurel on Saturday. I was in a little hurry to get back from the game, so. Package might not be in an optimal position.
It's cool with me, dude. Just throw them out the truck.
It's all good.
I mean, I slowed down a little bit, you know? But
you know
yeah,
what? I think back to my newspaper delivery days. I know what you mean.
There you go, B-Mitch.
So appreciate
Saturday, I started off, you know, you got to wear your Amazon uniform. Once I got out on the street, I put on my my B-Rob jersey. And I tell you what, everybody must listen to this show because I'm riding down the road and people are slowing down, rolling down their windows, yelling out, why not us?
Why not us?
Hell yeah.
You know who texted me, why not us today? Hey, thank you, brother.
God bless you.
Appreciate you, baby.
Rev T out here motivating the people.
There you go, baby.
You know who texted me, why not us today?
Who that?
Our guy, Protha.
Yeah.
He texted me.
He said the same thing to me.
Good morning. Why not us? 60 minutes away, baby. Drew on line 2. What up, Drew?
You know, I'm just overwhelmed today. So that game yesterday was great. But I was trying to think about how to think about this, and my word for the day is and. You know, it's we said this early, JP. We can rebuild and win at the same time, but. But we could also remember the past greatness of this team and look ahead at what's coming, right? I mean, I can remember going with my dad and mom, but now Alex coming up this Friday, so Jerry and I can go to the Eagles game. So, you know, and Saturday was great, awesome win in Detroit. That place was rocking. But and we're not done yet, and we still got to go beat the Eagles and get to New Orleans and win that one, you know, and you take all these ands in, and it really can fill you up and kind of just – it's just amazing. So, you know, love you guys. Love the show. Love this team. This is a historic weekend for us, and we're not done yet. So
I love that.
You guys in Philly and New Orleans, guys.
Keep it going, man. Keep the ands going, baby.
Drew, I'm going to give you an and. You were in Tampa and Detroit, and because of travel schedules and lots of stuff, I wasn't able to meet up for a drink. Saturday night, I'm going to do a show live from 7 to 8, and assuming I can find you guys after, I'm up for a drink in Philly. Let's
okay, that's a good way to start celebrating Sunday, man. We got to win in Philly. And all the Washington fans that are listening should make that. We got to take over the link.
Ooh, that's
going to be a hard move right now.
Order, dog. That's like storming the beach in Omaha. Thank you, Drew. Appreciate you, brother.
Okay, JP, I'll see you Saturday.
All right, see you, buddy.
Yeah, you can go to Chickie and Pete's. Go to Chickie and Pete's.
I don't know where we're – it's pretty dope, actually. Channel 4 is all in.
You said in Weston, right?
Yes. Is there a Chickie and Pete's downtown?
No, this comes straight up Broad Street. It's only about 3 miles, 2 or 3 miles.
Well, that's an interesting thing because We're going to do a live all ears Saturday night from 7 to 8. So we're going to have a live hour-long show previewing the game the next day on Channel 4.
It won't take a whole hour for your ears to finish the show.
It's a lot of ears.
Oh, yeah.
But I think location is still TBD. So we could be down by the stadium, which wouldn't surprise
me.
Right, Chicken and Pizza's right there. So you might be onto something.
Yeah, get you to reach out. If you're going to do it, I'll reach out to Pete early.
Okay, we'll do.
That's the only way you're going to get in on a damn Friday night.
Well, I don't know that they're going to want a whole gang of Burgundy and Gold fans showing up.
Money is green, right?
Money is green.
There we go.
Maybe we could do a show there.
Your lack of your money is still good.
Would they want to do a TV show there?
Never know with Pete.
Okay. That's just something because
I'll give you nothing to call him and talk to him.
You know what I don't necessarily want to do?
What? Be outside?
Be outside for an hour.
You don't want to have to wear that thick jacket, I understand.
Line 3, Drab's favorite caller, Co from the Foe. What up, Co?
What's up, man, on this Victory Monday, man? Woo!
Woo!
Hey, one question. Side note, man, I've been on hold for a long time. You just threw me off. Hey, JP, did they call that show All Ears because of you?
I don't know.
Have you never seen JP's ears?
I don't know how they came up with the name, Co.
But I'm just saying that the network go ahead and coordinate that with JP. That's all I want
to know. No, JP named the show.
If you can't make fun of yourself, who can you make fun of?
Yeah. It is there, man. But look, hey, look, I called it last week, man. I don't know if y'all remember my call, B-Mitch, but I told you what had to be done to go in there. We had to go in there and do what? Punch him in the mouth.
There you go.
You did.
You did say that.
In that first handoff, Fowler came around that edge. Ayah! There you go. We got that pick chick from Q Dog. What Luvu do? Ayah! Put him on the sideline blue tent. We didn't care nothing about him. It was all clean within them lines. We kept punching them out, and by fourth quarter, they was ready to give it up, baby. It's just that simple. Now, I was way confident in Tampa Bay. I was confident in Detroit because Detroit ain't never been nowhere. They never done nothing. Now, this we going up the street to see our big brothers. We know what it's about up there. We got to take the same mindset, and we go up there and play – four quarters of hard-nosed football, like we've been doing in the last eight quarters. I'm all right with the outcome, man. You know, because I'm gonna give Philly his credit. What credit is due? That's our big brother. And for real, instead of trying to emulate Detroit, we're really trying to emulate them because Detroit, they ain't gonna do nothing. They ain't have this playoff plan. I'm daggone hyped up, man. I can sit here and talk to y'all forever about this crew. I'm happy to be a fan, man. I can't wait, man.
Thank you, Co. Appreciate you, buddy. We're going to keep the phone lines going. TJ is in D.C. TJ, what up, man?
Hey, Mitch, what's good, fellas?
Chilling, babe.
Hey, man, I want to give some credit pie to the whole Redskins organization, the true fans, the affiliates, all of it. We deserve this. But I also want to give consolation pies to Ben Johnson for not getting that job. And to the Chicago Bears for leaving JD on the table for us. Appreciate you guys for that.
All right, bro. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it, dude. You know what?
Hey,
this popped up on my Twitter this morning, B. And I want to give him credit because you and I have knocked some of his takes and certainly some of the suit colors he wears. Orlovsky, a video was circulating from about a year ago, mid-February. Orlovsky came out and said, I would take Jaden Daniels number one.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
Well, he was right about that.
He was right about that one. And I'm not ready to count out Caleb. Caleb, if you could figure out Chicago, which I'm not sure is quite doable, but if you can, I'm not saying that's a broken organization, but Jaden is that dude.
Yep.
Let's go to Alex in Rockville, line 5. What up, Alex? How you doing, bud?
Hey, JP, B-Mitch, what a day. Listen, I've been reminiscing about this whole season, right? Been a longtime fan, you know, been in the area since 82. When I compare the season to the Super Bowl runs, the four Super Bowl runs, you know, those were dominant teams. They weren't on this roller coaster ride that kept you on the edge of the seat. And the thrilling performance from Jedi 5, it's surreal. I can't get over how poised and good he is. But what stood out to me this weekend when I was watching the Ravens game yesterday, they have two great running backs, one unbelievable running back, and they wouldn't run the ball. And then when I look at the game that Kingsbury called, man, they were committed to that run. In the fourth quarter, in one of the drives, they ran it 6-7 times down their throats to seal the deal. I think this is just an incredible ensemble of staff, of people who have just come together and made this thing something really, really special. I've never seen it. I'm enjoying it. It's a thrill. I had a gut feeling they would win against Detroit. I have a gut feeling they're going to win against Philadelphia. God knows what happens if they win this week. But we're in a good spot. I'll take my quarterback, our quarterback, against any one of those guys, those three other teams, any day of the week. Thank you.
Thanks,
all.
Buddy.
Why not us, baby?
Great call. I will say, maybe we'd look at the other games tomorrow, but that Ravens-Bills game last night was wild. Derrick Henry getting 16 carries, dominated the third quarter, and then they got away from him. But when they went for two, the first time they went for two, not at the end, but the first time, and they motioned Derrick Henry out of the backfield, my wife said to me, why? I will not understand. Maybe you go play action. I'm not saying you have to run it right there, but why motion him out of the backfield?
He should be getting the ball.
I think so too. But
making you think he's going to get the ball.
He definitely shouldn't be motioned out of the backfield. Let's go to Ryan in D.C. on line 8. Ryan, what up, man?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How y'all doing? Thanks for taking my call. Hey, I got a long history with this team going back. I'm 44, fat boys. Used to take care of this team back when I was in the restaurant hospitality, that world. Now I'm watching this one with my 17-year-old son, and D-Mitch, you're talking about emotions. Watching that game Saturday night, my voice was shot. And we were at a sports park, and just screaming, him screaming, watching his reaction to what was happening on the TV and on that field will be something I'll always remember it. It's something I've looked forward to since landing in Virginia at the end of 95 when I was 15. I remember the Mitch and that 91 squad beating the Bills when we were living in California, stationed at the Naval Postgraduate School. It's been a hell of a ride. And like everybody else has said, there's something special about this crew and this team that hasn't been felt in a long time. And I tweeted you, JP, that it feels like that second Gibbs going around, there's that hype about it, but there's something else on top about it. And this run, regardless of what happens on this next game coming up, I'll always remember this run. It's been so fun, fellas. And I appreciate y'all and what y'all cover and everything y'all do on the radio and JP on the TV. And I appreciate you guys. Y'all have
appreciate
fun
today. You, bro. Thank you.
Hi, man.
But here's what we're not doing. Everybody should be thankful and appreciative, and this is awesome. But this ain't over, and we're not talking about it in any sort of past tense. It's been an incredible, incredible two games. There might be two left. There's definitely one left, and I, for one, just can't. Dude, B, we haven't had a chance to talk about this yet. I thought Kingsbury was so freaking good Saturday night. The script to come out early. Because think about it, they went right down the field both times.
Yeah.
And I know they got stopped on the fourth down. Clearly there was something funky on that play. I also think the spot sucked, and it was a first down anyway. But Kingsbury, we talked about Joe Witt and them generating turnovers and DQ overseeing all these things. I thought Cliff, in this playoff run, has been fantastic.
He has been.
And the caller right there, I think it was Ryan, said, you know, I remember that Joe Gibbs 2.0 run and how exciting that was, and this one feels different. It feels different because you got a stud quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And in Washington, that hasn't been the case in a very, very long, long time.
Long time.
It's crazy to think about what is – I'm a huge believer that the notion that opportunity knocks is true and utter BS. Opportunity does not knock. Life is not about the people that wait around and – expect life to come to them. Mm-hmm. Life is about seeing an opportunity and kicking the MFing door down. And that's what that's this Washington team is doing.
Hey, the thing about it is once you're there, you don't have to say, oh, I got to wait till next time. No. If you're already there, become who you want to be.
There were two teams on the field in Detroit. One of them was going to win.
There you go.
There was no rule against it being the road team.
Why not you make it?
Why not us?
There you go, man.
Rev T, why not? B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7, the fan. Lot to be excited about, man, if you're a fan of these Washington Commanders. And, dude, I think it's worth pointing this out. For all the talk of Lance Newmark going to the Jets with Aaron Glenn, Newmark was at practice 20 minutes ago when the media was there. I mean, talking with Dan Quinn, talking with Adam Peters. Now, maybe even if you know you're going to take that job, you just don't do it till season's over or whatever. But typically, there are front office folks that would bounce. He could. Whatever's going to happen doesn't appear to have happened today. I can tell you that because I'm looking at Newmark here. Thank you, Brian. We haven't had much opportunity to check in with the boys in the aquarium, and I'd like to do it now. Lamphill, you're a very measured fella. I would say you often – it takes a lot to have you very riled up. How you feeling about where this Commanders team, organization, where things are going right now, 2 days out from the NFC title game?
I mean, I feel great about where the team is. Like, they just really got in charge of things back in January, and we're already in the, January a year ago, and we're already in the championship game. Things are going great.
Says a lot.
It really does, dude. And why, Brian, this might make me the happiest of all the questions I'm going to ask. As a Giants fan, how do you feel about what's going on in Washington?
It's slightly terrifying. But it's also nice that the Cowboys are kind of in limbo now. So I've been dealing with them and the Eagles being good. Now it's just Washington and the Eagles being good.
Yeah, dude, it's funny. For a very, very long time, Washington fans had to kind of just live in this world of, hey, it's great to see other teams suck.
Yeah.
That doesn't – like, I don't care as much about – I mean
– I don't care about the other team. I care about our team being good.
Right.
To hell with them.
Right. I totally agree. And the opportunity before them – I don't know what's up with Jalen Hurts, dude. I don't think anybody does. It's hard for me to think he won't be a little beat up, frankly. Yeah. I think if they have to rely on Hurts in the pocket to win, I like Washington's chances a lot. Mm-hmm. Jeff, I have a very specific piece of information for you. Ethan Cadeau reporting that while the media was at practice today, they played four songs during warmups. Two by Meek Mill, one by Lil Uzi Vert, and one by Freeway. How do you feel about them playing all Philly beats on Philly Week, Jeffrey?
That's what they're going to play.
I mean, that's what they're going to hear. You know,
I love it. I think like, that's an FU.
I mean, they not even – the way this team is, they probably just playing their music because they know the stadium going to be loud and they just using it as practice. I don't think they worried about anything Philly-wise except for that Philly football team.
Bro, honestly, until these last two, but the best regular season, I'll say, locker room vibe. I don't know, the Hail Mary. This year kind of changed every previous ranking, right? But prior to this year, the most fun post-game locker room I had been in a long time was after the Skins beat the Eagles up there in that Monday night game when Philly was undefeated. And Jeremy Reeves, I'll never forget it, he had the giant, like, boombox-looking speaker, and they were just cranking Dreams and Nightmares over and over and over. And it was – there was absolutely a factor of
– They said they played Eminem when we played Detroit.
Right. Like, Detroit that week. I like doing this. Yeah. Like, you know what you're getting into, and you know
We played Eminem and they played Jell-O. What the hell was that?
Jell-O was something else. Also, he's got to come up with a cooler name.
Yeah.
I guess LeAngelo, is that how he comes up with it?
Yeah, but Jell-O, G-E-L-O.
It's bad.
It wasn't good. I mean, he didn't sound very good.
Jeff, what do you think of that dude?
He has an amazing father that really invests in all of his dreams. That's what I think.
Yo, but he's getting legit paid off of this.
He got $15 million up front. I hear
JP. When you have a vehicle like that supporting you, yo, when you, because all a song takes is the right promotion scheme. You know, they able to get it to like the players and get on that string. Oh man, smart marketed. Yo, he did it right. He did it the right way. And any rapper out here that's hating on Jell-O, you can't hate because he just did it the right way.
Yeah, he better keep doing it the right way, though, Jeff, because he better follow up that song with a better one. And next time he perform, he better damn be better than what he was that time.
Boy.
Yeah, because
he's not going on tour no time soon.
He did not strike me as a performer.
Bruh.
And it's crazy because Lonzo wrote the song.
The one that's actually playing?
Yeah. Lonzo Ball wrote the song.
The dad.
No.
That's the dad, right?
No.
No, the dad's Lamar.
Lamar, yeah. Lonzo
is the oldest.
He's the older brother, right?
Yeah. He wrote the song.
The song is a little catchy. The dude is a 0 out of 10 as far as a performer. Like, I don't know. I wasn't particularly impressed by Mr. Ball. Good old Jell-O.
Yeah, Tanner kept telling me that Jell-O was playing these songs. I said, who the hell is this? And he just died laughing because he knew I wouldn't like the song.
I didn't think the song was that bad.
I think the song was bad.
It's
the way, he performed it made it seem bad.
He was quite boring.
Yeah. The chorus is good.
Yeah, it's a little catchy. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Gosh, I can't believe
we're kind of like 1-800-CALLS-FOR-KIDS is catchy too.
Yo, 1-877-CALLS-FOR-KIDS.
That's catchy too.
Yo, that is the catchiest. They've probably been playing it during the breaks, but for everybody on the stream or listening on the pod, I'm gonna get it stuck in your head right now. 1-877-CALLS-FOR-KIDS.
It gets stuck.
Donate your car today. It's the most stuck in your head commercial of
Whoever
all time.
Wrote that one, that's a good dude. He knew what he was doing.
Costanza. All right, here's what we're going to do. We got to make some bets when we come back. We're going to see if we hear from Peter. If not, it's bet time. Nobody go anywhere. You're like a disease without any cure. All right, let's check in on the stream. You're listening to B. Mitch and Finley. That was a lot of fun, man. Hugh and Joe are good dudes. I feel like we dished it out as much as we kind of received as well there.
Well, I'm not going to take it too long. You know that.
I am astonished, and perhaps I shouldn't be. Perhaps this is naivete. I am astonished by the fact that those surrounding the Eagles are so confident in this game when they lost to this team a month ago. Yeah, 6 weeks ago, whatever it was.
They have their ready-made excuses as to why, okay? And that's why I'm like, listen, bro, I could throw ifs out there too. You know what I'm saying?
You're the big one out there.
I could throw all kind of stuff out there for you. But the main thing is people that talk that outlandish, they're concerned. And they should be. Just like we should be concerned about them.
Calling it cute, dude.
We should be concerned about them. It happens.
I feel like where we land on this, and I don't want to speak for you, but for me, Philly's really good. Their D-line and O-line are really good. Carter is really good. Saquon is really good. A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, good player. Like, Philly has a ton of talent, man. Quinyon, DeJean, CJGJ, stay in the game, hothead. But, like, Philly has a ton of talent. I'm not trying to
We're not trying to belittle that at all.
No.
But we know that.
Washington's good, too.
Hell yeah.
Like, I'm blown away. If they had swept them, I could kind of understand it more. I could rationalize the confidence up there.
Yep.
You got a hothead coach that is incredibly volatile. You got a kicker that has been up and down all year. Mm-hmm. I don't get the supreme confidence with which those associated with southeastern Pennsylvania seem to carry. Checking in on the stream. We haven't said what's up to the stream folks yet. I got Strizzy at 9:57 a.m.
9:57. It was about 10 hits before 10 o'clock. Maybe more than that.
Bing, bop, boom, 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 bop, bam.
Whatever the hell that means.
I don't know what that means. The type of ish the Commander's on, you wouldn't understand. All right, I get that part. Mm-hmm. there's a lot of people in the stream, a lot of comments. I hope everybody's enjoying themselves. I hope they enjoyed that crosstalk with Joe and Hugh.
How many people were throwing stuff at the stream when y'all heard them talking?
Well, I mean, Jeff commented just in the text thread. White Brian, what'd you think of the crosstalk with the Philly boys?
I loved it. Absolutely.
It was fun, perfect. Man. That they're a confident bunch. And B, I would say we are only confident that this is going to be a competitive game.
Yeah.
Like, can they win? Hell yes. Am I guaranteeing that or anything? No.
No guarantee.
But they're going up there to compete, man. And if you think differently, I think you're going to have a rude awakening, sir. Mm-hmm. Should be fun, though. Jeffrey, you seem to enjoy that segment. Mm. Jeffrey, did he leave again? Or Landfill just won't turn his mic on?
Nah, there we go. I love that segment. Actually, last time when we seen him at the Radio Row for the Army-Navy game, I forgot who it was talking about told me to send some iced tea up to the studio when we lose, and we never lost. So that's why I text B in the group chat, yo, tell him send that iced tea down.
It's going to be fascinating depending how this game shakes out. Like, if Philly loses, the level of meltdown up there is going to be significant. Significant. You know what I'm saying? And I can't wait to find out. It's I don't know. I can't wait on that. The game's going to be so much fun. B, serious question for you. Coach of the year. You think DQ should win it?
Hell yeah.
Do you?
Did you see what he brought this team from?
Yeah.
So I think all of the extra stuff that was going on, and for them to be there this quick, hell yes.
Who are the nominees? So it's...
He's in it.
I know he's in it, but... All right, Coach of the Year is Dan Campbell, Kevin O'Connell, Sean Payton, Dan Quinn, and Andy Reid. Is it worth pointing out that only two of those five are still coaching? The votes are already in. So.
Votes already in, but I think Quinn did the most this year.
I have a tough time with O'Connell. A lot of people will say it should be O'Connell, and I'm not saying that that's incorrect, but for a lot of people, it's like, oh, man, you know.
Why would it be O'Connell? That's a question I'm going
to
know.
So my counter to a lot of people would be like, oh, nobody expected anything from them this year because they lost Kirk.
And then they didn't sign Kirk back, and then they got one of the best years ever out of Sam Darnold until the end.
They went 7-10 last year. They were 13-4 the year before. They were 14-3 this year. O'Connell's really good, man. I think what Dan Quinn overcame this year for a roster that went 4-13 last year, I mean, really just to get the kind of buy-in, considering about half of the roster was flipped over, it's one of those things where I don't know that he's going to be – I don't know that he's going to win it, but absolutely it's a pretty easy case to be made that he should.
Dan?
Yeah.
I mean, he's done everything he needs to do to win it. He can't do anything else now. He's done everything that you need to do. You took a team that won 4 games last year. You added 35 people to your team. You have a rookie quarterback. And still, you went out there, you won 12 games.
I mean, assistant coach of the year. I'm not trying to knock anything here, but you got Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn nominated. Brian Flores, Vic Fangio, and Joe Brady. All coaches on good teams that performed well, but nothing like you could say Witt or Kingsbury did, frankly. Mm-hmm. I mean, Kingsbury had to remake an entire offense with a rookie quarterback and suit it to him. I'm not going to get too caught up in what should or shouldn't happen with the Coach of the Year stuff. I do think, for whatever reason, Dan Quinn's accomplishments have been minimized, and they shouldn't be. Maybe, I mean, dude, if you just think about the win totals, they were at 6 or 6.5 wins. They doubled that.
Yeah.
And now they've gone way past it.
Yes.
Rookie quarterback, a lot of moving pieces defensively.
What you don't add is this. You had a new ownership group come in, new front office. Then Dan had to work with that, and then he had to bring all these new players in. And he went out there and he coached them up to a 12-5 season. He's done as much as anybody out there. I don't think any coach has done anything more to be able to automatically say that they should be able to beat him.
I mean, what would you say if Andy Reid wins it? That'd be a hard one to argue to me.
It'd be a hard one to argue, but still, you got Pat Mahomes.
Of the Chiefs, and I think
you won the last two Super Bowls.
This gets lost with Kansas City. When, so to me, there's like, you're a Hall of Famer, which is about as high as it gets. Mm-hmm. But then even among Hall of Famers, there's like the Mount Rushmore type, like the all-time, like, I'm trying to think of an example of this. Like, LaDainian Tomlinson is in the Hall of Fame, deservedly.
Yeah.
But, like, Barry Sanders and Walter Payton occupy a different corner of the room. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And Tomlinson's an absolute great player. If you look at Kansas City's talent, I think, and I don't know if you'll agree with me on this, and maybe it's premature, but Kelce and Mahomes are first ballot, undoubted Hall of Famers.
Mm-hmm.
And I think both those guys might be their own corner of the room type guys too.
Yeah.
Not only Hall of Famers, but like beyond, like all time in the conversation for greatest ever at their positions. I think Andy Reid, when it's all said and done, is going to start entering some conversations. Yeah. And Chris Jones is a Hall of Famer. He might not be we might not talk about him like Reggie White or Aaron Donald, but he's on that next tier. He can play.
Yes,
man.
He can.
Bless you. I don't know. It's fascinating. Should Dan Quinn – he's nominated, so he's in the conversation. He absolutely belongs in that, too, is what I would add.
Mm-hmm.
We still have a lot coming up. Joe Witt, Commanders defensive coordinator, speaking to the media next. Ross Tucker joins us at high noon.
There must be some kind of way out of here.
High noon in the District of Columbia, and we are excited to jump on the Rude Guest Hotline and talk to our friend, Mr. Ike Reese. You can, of course, hear Ike on Afternoons WIP in Philadelphia, 2 to 6. You can follow him on X at Ike58 Reese. Ike, what up, man? How you been?
JP, I'm awesome, brother. What's up, big bro? I mean, listen. Are we friends or foe? Are we friends or foe this week? What are we doing? Like what are we?
Man,
doing?
We always friends. We just the teams are foes, but we always friends, dog. Can you tell me what the hell's going on with? Can you tell us what's going on with Jalen Hurts? Nobody's talking about his injury.
Yeah, we're gonna find out today. He's speaking today. So I think we're all around here waiting here. Like everyone else is to exactly what's going on with him. I don't get a sense that he's not going to play, so he's going to play. I believe that. How effective he will be and whether or not he can be his normal self, I think really that's the big question out there is whether or not how mobile will he be Sunday in this game versus will he be stationary back there in the pocket? And I don't even know if we're going to get that answer today, but I think we'll at least find out that he's trending in the direction of playing. They like to do this whole thing with the gamesmanship and not fully disclosing what's going on. I get all of that. The Eagles are one of the best at it. But the sense I'm getting is that he'll be a go Sunday, but it's just a matter of whether or not he's going to be his normal self or whether or not he's going to have some restrictions to that injury last week, which actually looked a lot worse. I mean, I thought – I was surprised he came back in the game, honestly, the way his knees twisted up. So, and a lot of that is adrenaline, B. You know how that is. You can get through a game based on adrenaline. He was able to do that. But then the next day or two, it starts to stiffen up and you're a lot more sore. So it'll be interesting to see what he's able to do today out there in practice and really his disposition at the podium when he's talking to everybody. You know, it's always hard to read him, you know, from a body language standpoint, but I think we'll get a sense of just how confident he is and whether or not he'll be able to go Sunday.
Yeah, I think Hurts is, to me, mobility is maybe the biggest storyline going into this game, because for all the talk of Saquon, when Jalen's at his best, he can kill you with his legs.
Yep.
And yep. if he can't, that changes a lot to me in this game. I don't know if you see it that way, because up with the Eagles' pass game has been kind of non-existent for a little while here.
Yeah. Yeah, in this day and age of football, JP, where it's everyone tells you it's a passing game. I mean, a passing league. That's pretty much what it is. The Eagles have sort of gone in a complete different direction, and we are a run-based offense. Depending on your perception of what you see every week, some will say Jalen is doing what's asked of him, and because the Eagles are so good at running the football, he has been sort of selfless in being able to take a step back and letting that be the driving force. Some will say, well, the Eagles have sort of had to coach around some of what some may perceive as his ineffectiveness in the passing game, and this is what they had to sort of resort to. Again, that's all in how you perceive the offense.
Sure.
Me personally, they realized, I believe, during the bye week, which was like week five, seems ages ago, that the best course of action for them to go to as far as being effective offensively, cutting down on turnovers, which had plagued them the first 4 weeks of the season. Jalen had nine total turnovers, I believe, interceptions and fumbles in the first four games of the season. They wanted to dial back on that, and the running aspect, I believe, became the driving force. Now, I don't know if they envisioned the running game taking off the way that it did with Saquon to where they didn't want to deviate from it. So I'll say this. I still believe they have the ability to throw the ball if pressed into action, meaning if they need to throw the ball because they can't run, I still believe they can throw the ball. Jalen can throw the ball. We have two good receivers on the outside. Well, hell, two very good receivers on the outside in A.J. and Devontae, and a very good tight end in Dallas Goedert. That's still available to them. But I give them credit for not trying to force that and saying this is what we've done well and it's been a great formula for success. So I think they just primarily have stuck with what has worked versus saying, you know what, let's work on this passing game because we need to be explosive in the passing game and this is what we need to do in order to win. I mean, totally. It's working okay for Kansas City. I mean, it's working okay for a lot of these things. I think their biggest thing has been if we don't turn the ball over with the way our defense is playing and the way our running game is, we're going to win the majority of the games. And that's been the formula for them. So I don't expect that to change come Sunday.
You've watched two football games these two teams have played, and you've watched this offense here in Washington. When you look at this offense now since the last time they played, what are your thoughts of Jaden Daniels and this offense?
Dude, this team has been seriously, has been as advertised since about week five or week six. And I'm talking about your team, Washington. Remember, when we first played Washington, they were in first place. Like, they were the team that had been leading the NFC East and playing well. So we had to basically win that game and then sort of surpass them. But, like, Washington has been what they've shown us, which is a very good football team, a balanced football team. They can run the ball. Now, they may do it in a different manner than some other teams. The quarterback certainly is a big part of that. But I look at this offense, man, and it starts with your quarterback. I mean, that's where it starts. It starts with him. I think they put him in a great situation from a play design concept and what they're asking of him. But even more than that, I think he's taking the schemes and the X's and O's and taking it to a higher level because the level in which he's playing at the quarterback position. He's playing at a level in which you expect the elite quarterbacks to play it in this league. And that's been the most surprising thing is that no defensive coordinator has been able to come up with a defensive game plan that leaves him perplexed, that he doesn't have answers for, and it stymies the offense. I think the most time, you guys know better than me, the only time this team sort of sputtered a little bit is when he was banged up, right, with the rib injury. Like, he couldn't be his full self at that time. And so they sort of just navigated through that period the best they could, and they still wound up winning 12 games. So we have paid close attention to that team and Jaden Daniels all year long, because, like I said, the first half of the season, we were trailing those guys and trying to catch up to them and really waiting for them to tell off. But they have weathered all that, and they're playing their best football right now. And I don't know if there's a quarterback in the league that's left playing that's playing better than Jaden Daniels. I'm just being honest. It's not softening anything up. It's not platitudes. It's the reality of the situation. The kid is playing. He's playing outstanding. He just is. He's playing outstanding.
I agree with you, man. Not body of work. Like, not entire body of work, but
sure,
the level of
sure.
play
he's
right
in his
now.
First year.
Yeah, of the four yes, quarterbacks playing year. This weekend, of the four QBs playing this weekend, I think Jaden's at the top of the list, which is nuts.
Yes. Yep. I mean, that's how he's playing right now. I don't see how anybody can deny that. If you got a good pair of eyes, and I'm older, so my eyesight isn't the same, but I still see pretty good. It looks pretty damn good to me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Talking with our friend Ike Reese from WIP up in Philadelphia. Of course, Ike played for the Eagles, played for the Falcons, Pro Bowler in Philly. Ike, I'm curious, man, another guy that might be playing at the peak of the NFL level right now is a young guy wearing green and Jalen Carter. What is he unlocked? Because all of a sudden he looks like the dude that we saw at Georgia that seemed like he could dominate.
Yeah, I think he's unlocked, JP? It's okay to be great. It's okay to be great every week. It's okay to be the guy who's counted on to make the play. It's okay to be the guy that your teammates are looking at to sort of get them started on that side of the football. And that's not easy for a young player, because you want to be respectful to older guys and you don't know how much to assert yourself or what have you. And I think, you know, Jalen he's developed so much over the 2 years he's been in the league. And even when you look at just this year, his leadership and his willingness to embrace that role as, you know what, this defense is going to go as I go, right? Instead of being the guy who says, you know what, I'm just a part of the defense and I'm going along with everyone else. I think he's embraced that responsibility of being a great player and getting the party started. Like, he's embraced that and wants to be that guy. And so I think that's the light switch that has gone off in his head. And the potential has always been there. You know, sort of the knock on him coming out was, does he have the motor? Is the motivation there every week? Can he stay focused? And we've seen signs of that over the 2 years where he may have a lapse here or a lapse there. But something, you know, around the middle of the season, and it may have started with playing against Washington in that Thursday night game. Like, something clicked with him where he just decided, I'm going to be the best player on the field every time I step out there. And this defense, which was playing well, has really just taken off and is being led by him. I mean, if we don't have Jalen Carter last week, I don't think we win that game. As great as Saquon was, it was the plays on defense that Jalen Carter made, forcing turnovers, the big sack late, and then the quarterback pressure on the last throw on fourth down in front of Matt Stafford. He really was a huge, big reason why we won that game last week.
I mean, he's been a monster. And, I mean, honestly, I think if Philly wins this thing this weekend, I really like Washington's chances, but that probably is a given considering – but if Philly wins this thing, I think it's got to be.
Well, considering it's a good team, it's a good matchup. I mean, both games
have
been close, right? I mean, both games have been close, so yeah.
Totally.
Sometimes styles make fights. So forget about
it
looked like on paper or what have you. These two teams are very evenly matched. They match up very well.
And I think Washington's strength is leaning on a electrifying young quarterback, and Philly's strength is leaning on that defense. Like, Saquon will be the difference maker for the Philly offense, but defensively, I feel like the Eagles are playing at a really high level, and Fangio really knows what he's doing. Bond and Dean, is Dean back? Does he look healthy? Because I know there was an injury issue.
Dean's done. No, Dean's done. Okay, no, he's done.
He's out.
He's done.
Yep, it's Bond, and then who's, like, where are the injury impacts defensively?
I'll tell you, Oren Burks stepped in last week for N'Kobe Dean. We thought it was going to be split duty between Oren Burks and Jeremiah Trotter Jr. But Oren Burks seemingly took the majority of those snaps out there. I don't think Jeremiah Jr. was out there very much on defense. And I give Burks credit. He made some plays, particularly in that second half, that they came up in critical situations. So, and the Rams tried to take advantage of him being out there. You know, they went to Higbee a few times as a tight end to see if he could cover. And Higbee caught some balls, but Burks made some plays as well. So, I think our linebackers sort of go as our defensive line goes. If those guys up front are being disruptive and playing well, I mean, Zach Bond has just been, my God, you're talking about finding a hidden gem. I mean, no one had any idea that
he's been crazy.
Zach Bond was going to be this. Yeah, nobody had any idea he was going to be this player. So, you're talking about first-team All-Pro. Coming from where he's come, he's been our defensive MVP along with Jalen Carter. So I honestly believe our secondary is going to be real key for us this game, you know, because covering the Washington receivers, you know, the receivers aren't big guys, but they're quick. They do well after they catch the ball. And they don't mind catching the ball across the middle of the field. So we got to do a great job, I think, with our secondary of being able to stay attached to Terry McLaurin. I mean, Alameda Zacchaeus hurt us the last game, right? And then, you know, Brown, he has become somewhat of a factor over the last couple of games. So I think our secondary, Quinyon Mitchell, we got to see where he's at from a health standpoint and whether or not he's going to be able to play Sunday, see how effective he is. I really believe our secondary is going to have their work cut out.
You want to see if he's a real Mitchell, man. He got to play. If he don't play, he's not a real Mitchell. He might be on that Freddie side instead of that Brian side.
Hey, Freddie.
Go ahead, JP. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I want to hear what you were going to say.
I'm just going to say as it pertains to Mitchell, being a sort of related to Brian Mitchell, he is completely opposite of B. Mitchell when it comes to being an extrovert and introvert. Like B. Mitchell is an extrovert, yeah. Yeah,
Quinyon
Mitchell doesn't say anything. Yeah, he doesn't say anything. Yeah, you barely hear anything. Got to help.
And maybe from that Freddie side there. I don't think you expect to be asked this question here, but what's up with y'all mayor spelling the Eagles wrong, man? Did you see this?
Not a good look.
E-L-G-S-E-S. What is that? Elses? What the hell? I mean, and then the other people in the background, you can see they were like, what the hell did she just spell?
Yeah. Yeah, we sort of like, you know, B-Mitch. Sometimes we get a little too excited. And once she missed the A, there was no turning back. She didn't know where to go from. She missed the E's and the A. She went to L, so she's like, oh, my God, I got to go to D-E-S. And I hope that's right. Yeah,
she said S-E-S.
Yeah, not a good look, man. That was not a good – but here, hold on. So I got to defend her a little bit because she came out and she owned up to it. She did own up to it, I believe, today or yesterday, that she says she has to make sure she gets a second chance at doing that. So, you know, I think
she'll
be better.
Well, damn, you shouldn't have to get a second chance, dog.
You got to nail that on the first try, dude.
They've only been saying the chance for however many years. You cannot miss that.
Hey, B-Mitch, JP, I'm telling you, you guys would be surprised at how many people, including former players, that mess that up on the spot. Like, we do a pregame show every week, and we have the guest come on and do the E-A-G-L-E-S chant. And some of the former players that come back, and you know, they do it. I'm not going to say any names, but we have at least a couple handful of guys
Were they pregaming, though, before they say it? See, she wasn't pregaming. Were they pregaming? You know what I mean by pregaming. Were
that's
they pregaming before they messed
exactly
up?
I know exactly what you mean. Yes, yeah. I know what you mean. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, I don't think she was pregaming. But those former players, yeah, you know how we do. Yeah, they were pregaming.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they were pregaming.
Ike, do you do the show with John Clark?
I do a show that's called Eagles Game Plan with John
the
Clark.
Okay, because I watched that. When we were up there, I guess for the Thursday nighter, I watched that the night before. Mm-hmm. It was quite good.
Mike Quick.
Yeah. Okay, cool. I'm very curious what you think about this. Like, I have to do a live show in Philadelphia for television Saturday night at 7 o'clock from a bar. How do you think that's going to go once they realize what the audience is?
Yeah, what bar are you doing it from?
I'm keeping that to myself for now, sir.
Keeping that to yourself right now, okay. I thought I could lure you into saying where you're going to be at. So just to make sure we give you the nice home treatment that we normally give our guests when they come here, yes.
Yo, but seriously, I know that Eagles fans are normally a very vocally confident bunch, but what is the vibe up there? Are they a little nervous about this game?
No, yes, we got a nice mixture of healthy anxiety as only we can have as Eagle fans. You're not a true Eagles fan unless you got a little bit of angst and anxiety in you about the big game.
Sure.
Coming, the bigger the game, the more the angst that we have. But then we're going to have our portion of the fans that want to stick their chest out and let everybody know that they're not concerned about Washington and we're going to win this game. You know me, I tend to lean towards the group that has some anxiety and some angst. I feel better when I have a healthy amount of respect for the opponent coming up. And so I feel like, this game can't be overlooked. This won't be an easy game. And quite frankly, I do have a little anxiety about the game. I do. I got to be honest with you. I do. Got a little bit in me.
Hey, you sound like me. Like, you know, as a former player, when you go into these games, you know, you know, hell, we got to go out there and do our thing. But, hell, you know you can't have those mistakes. And the slightest mistake can sway a game one way or the other.
Yes. Hey, B, we played in a couple of these that didn't go our way. So, you know.
I know.
And you're right. So, we know what that means about being overconfident going into a game. And I've learned to respect my opponent no matter who it is. And so, you know, Washington isn't here by accident. They won 12 games this year. This kid, late in games, he doesn't flinch. He doesn't seem to get rattled. They've won late in games, final drives, and all those things. Like, it's those are the type of things that worry you when you're facing that type of opponent. And it's more pressure on us than it is on Washington, right? No disrespect to Washington or anything of that nature. But obviously, being the favorite and being at home, the pressure is on us to go out there and be at our best. Washington can come in and play carefree. And they've already had a successful season. So, you know, you never know how the players are going to respond to having that type of pressure on you when you're playing at home. So, you know, like I said, it should be a great game Sunday. I don't expect some type of blowout or some type of comfortable win. Either way, I think it's going to be fourth quarter, late in the game. Who makes the plays? Who doesn't? I think that's what it comes down to.
I can't
all
wait,
right, brother.
For it, man. Hey, Ike, thanks for making time for us, dude.
Appreciate
we know you're busy
you, bro.
This week.
All right, no problem, guys. You know I love being on with you, B. I know I'll see you Sunday, bro.
All right, bro. Got you, babe. Talk to you later, man.
Ike Reese, WIP in Philadelphia. Give him a follow at Ike58Reese. If you want to check in with WIP, get on that Odyssey app, man. I bet those callers are fired up in the city of brotherly love. When we come back, we should be hearing from Commanders head coach Dan Quinn. Nobody go anywhere. Sunday night, we're partying all night long. Very excited to get to the Rude Guest Hotline right now and talk to Matthew Berry. fantasy football analyst for NBC Sports. You can check out all of his content at Matthew Berry's Fantasy Life. Matthew, what's up, dude? Thanks for making time for us.
Yeah, my pleasure. My pleasure. Appreciate Just real quickly, fantasylife.com has all sorts of great information, but my specific content is over at nbcsports.com and rotoworld.com. So, but I do own Fantasy Life and encourage everyone to go check it out.
I read Love Hate every week, and I won a fantasy title this week, this year. So I feel good about all the advice I get from you, dude.
Let's go. Appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm curious for you, dude. You are a obviously you cover the whole league. You're a part of Sunday Night Football, NBC Sports, the shows on Peacock. Like, you're all over the place. But I know what the burgundy and gold means to you. You've been a fan of this team a long time. How does it feel for you to be rooting, watching this team in an NFC Championship game?
I literally just did an episode of Happy Hour that'll be up on Peacock and the NFL and NBC YouTube channel later and wherever you get your podcast. And on that show, I said this. This game on Sunday is the most important game of my life. Far none. Because, again, I've been a Commanders fan since, Washington fan, whatever, since I was 5 years old. And so I, you know, and when I was a young man, like, you know, I lived through the Gibbs era. And obviously, and I was in college when the last time the Commanders were in a Super Bowl. But, you know, and while I was excited about it, I rooted for it, I wanted it to win, you know, and everything like that, I think I probably took it for granted or didn't totally appreciate the moment at the time. I was just like, you know, because in the Gibbs era, it was just like, oh, we're always good. And, you know, we won a bunch and, you know, we played in four Super Bowls. And so, then, you know, Snyder taking over and just, you know, over two decades of being in the desert with not only, you know, the worst ownership in professional sports history, but, you know, poor on-the-field results and just, you know, never even competing, never even really having a chance. He had blips there, RG3's rookie year, you know, but for the most part, it's just we've been in the desert. And so now, finally, coming out of the desert and having hope and being one game away from the Super Bowl, a year after we won four games, a year in which we had a 6.5 game preseason win total. Vegas thought we were going to win six games this year, and we're one game away from the Super Bowl. Like, just knowing how hard it is to get back there with more adult eyes, more, you know, experienced eyes, JP. Mm-hmm. Like, sure. This is the most important game to me. I'm going to be a bundle of nerves because we got a shot. We got a shot to go to the big one.
We have a shot, and I think we talked to some people from Philly and a lot of people. They've been dismissive, and I believe when you're dismissive at this level, I can remember in 2002 being there. We were very dismissive of Tampa. They came in and beat us. And I believe Washington is on a roll right now where they can actually do the exact same thing because this team is not what they were before, and if they think that, Philly is going to be fooled.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'll be honest with you. I wish we were playing the Rams. I don't love playing a team that's seen us three, that's going to see us for a third time. But momentum is a real thing. And you know, B-Mitch, you can talk about this better than anyone. But, like, momentum and team and belief in yourself in that locker room, it's a real thing. And it means something, right? You know, Bill Simmons always likes to joke about the, you know, no one believed in us, you know, theme. And I truly believe that's with this Commanders. You know, we were almost double-digit underdogs to the Lions. We were underdogs to the Buccaneers. We're underdogs. We're almost a touchdown underdog to the Eagles this week. If we win, we will be an underdog to either the Chiefs or the Bills. You know, it is. No one believes in us, but those guys in that locker room, they believe in each other. And Philadelphia's an unbelievable team. Howie Roseman's put together a fantastic roster. But I think we got the better coach, and I think we got the better quarterback. And when you have the better ones of those two things, you got a chance.
I totally agree with you. Philly is loaded, but Jaden is the top of the list here. And I agree with you on DQ, too. Dan Quinn just was at the podium a few minutes ago and explained that over the last 6 weeks, 2 months, his team has gotten a lot better, a lot more resilient, mentally tougher. And I don't know that they don't, but I don't know that Philly has the mental toughness and resilience that Washington has put together. And I just feel like that could end up mattering this week.
It absolutely can be, especially because, by the way, so they're playing at Philadelphia. And, you know, that's a fan base that if Washington can get out to an early start, and this is what happened in Detroit, they got out to an early start and they quieted the crowd. And so if they can get out to an early start where they're in the game or even their lead, we get a quick turnover, something like that, like, the Eagles fans will start booing their own team. Mm-hmm. We've seen that before. We've seen that this year. Like, that's, you know, that's a crowd that is not patient. And so I think that's going to be important. I think, you know, the while the negative of having facing this team for a third time, they've seen Jaden twice, they've seen the offense, they know how to sort of attack us. But the positives here is that I think this team, from our side, from the Commander side, they've also seen the Eagles twice. Mm-hmm. You know, and they're not going to be intimidated. I don't think they'll be intimidated by anyone. But if you can go in Detroit and beat the Lions, beat the number one seed, by two touchdowns, and honestly, it should have been a bigger victory because, you know, we missed the field goal at the end and they should never have scored on the drive where they got the phantom face masking call.
Yeah.
Should have been an even bigger victory.
Yeah.
Like, there's absolutely no reason we can't beat this team, and I do think that's going to be important is having either an early lead or – because there have been times this year where we've started slow and we've had to make the big comeback, including the last time we played Philly.
Yeah,
it's been wild. Talking with Matthew Berry here on the Rude Guest Hotline. You can check out all of his work over on NBC Sports, on the Peacock app. Watch him on Sunday Night Football. Give him a follow at Matthew Berry, TMR. Talented Mr. Roto. I remember those days, man. It's funny how long I've been following your content. What is it? What do you make of Jaden Daniels, the season he's put together, the young man we've gotten to know, just his level of poise, his composure, and what does it feel like to have that dude on the team you love?
I said this to Devin McCourty the other day. He was my colleague at NBC Sports and on Football Night America. And I said, I feel like this must be what it felt like when you were playing with Tom Brady. I'm in the sense that, like, Tom Brady's one of those guys. I think Mahomes is another one of those guys. And there's not many of them in the history of the NFL. You know, you think about Montana, right? There's guys where you're just like, if they get the ball back with 2 minutes, you'll feel like, all right, this is over. Mm-hmm. You know, the old phrase, have they left Mahomes too much time? Have they left Tom Brady too much time? And I think that's the way with Jaden Daniels. I've never felt this in my life before where I'm just like, all right, okay, good. We got the ball back. Good. We're winning this game. Mm-hmm. Faith in five, man. Like, to have a quarterback like that where you just, like, you're no longer worried. You're just like, this dude's going to get it done. I don't know how, but he's going to turn around much like Tom Brady does, much like Patrick Mahomes does, much like some of the elite quarterbacks in the history of this game have just sort of said, hey, I'm putting on my Superman cape. Everyone get on my shoulders. I'm leading us to victory. We're going to go down and do this. And he's done it time and time again.
Yeah,
I think it's the greatest rookie season I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, I think when you see it one time, two times, you go, okay, that's okay. But he's done this, like, multiple times, like six times. Basically in a row.
For sure.
Yeah.
It's been incredible. And I can't remember who we had on the program the other day, but somebody said basically this should be the worst team Jaden ever plays with, which is pretty crazy because it's like – you know, it's year one of this rebuild. It's year one of Adam Peters finding free agents and running draft classes. And it just Brian and I have kind of come up with this rule that we don't want to talk about all they've accomplished this year because there's a game to focus on. Eventually, though, that conversation is going to be lengthy and probably a little bit emotional. To stay with that, though, looking at this game this weekend, obviously Saquon Barkley is the biggest threat. I know that just from you watching all the games and establishing who can do the most, how, if at all, can Washington slow down Saquon?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be important. I think the way it's gap control. It's being disciplined. And you know, it's the old Dan Patrick phrase. I'm not sure we can stop him. I think, you know, we can only hope to contain him. And I think that's what you're hoping for. I think, you know, if we get out of the game and Saquon Barkley has 100 rushing yards instead of 200 rushing yards, I think we've got a pretty good shot of having the bigger score at the end of the game. Like, to me, I think Dan Quinn has forgotten more about football than I'll ever know. But him and Joe Witt, my sort of, you know, surface level analysis would be is that you put Lattimore on Brown, you put Sanistrill on Devontae Smith, and you try to more or less load the box, and you take your chances with Jalen Hurts beating you, right? I don't know if that's what you guys think is going to happen, but I think you have to you know, you're sort of picking your poison here with the Eagles because they are so good. That offensive line is so amazing, and Barkley is, you know, second to none. I think you have to try to slow him down, because I will say we've struggled against the run, and I think that if the Lions had given Jahmyr Gibbs 30 to 35 touches instead of the you know, low 20s that they did, I think the Lions might have won that game. You know, he was just gashing us left and right. And luckily they took the ball out of Gibbs' hands and we were able to take the ball away. But that's going to be, I think the two keys to the game are, can we slow down Saquon Barkley, and can we protect Jaden? I'm nervous about Jalen Carter and his impact on this game, to be honest with you.
Understandably, dude. It's crazy because I have this theory, like, when it all boils down, you want the best O-line and D-line in the game, and I think they have the better of both of those. I think Philly's defense is probably the best single unit, but I do think Jaden's the best single player. And having that keeps everything else possible. You know, not to oversimplify it, but I think for Philly to win, they got to have a double-digit lead. And even saying that, they had a double-digit lead against Jaden in Week 16, and they still came back.
Yeah,
even with all the turnovers.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the key. Look, anytime you've got, I thought the Texans, just taking out of this game for a second, just to that point, right? The Texans were the better team last week against the Chiefs. They were.
Right.
But, you know, the Kansas City had 15 and, you know, made the plays when he needed to make them. And so I just think it comes down to that. Ultimately, I think I'm with you on they have better lines on both sides of the ball. But I think, and this is a cliche, but I think it's going to come down to turnovers too. How did Philly beat the Rams? Because they easily could have lost the Rams. But, you know, they get the fumble from Kyron. You know, the Stafford loses the ball as well. Like, you know, they won the turnover battle against the Rams. And how did the Commanders win? They won the turnover battle against Detroit, and they won the turnover battle against Tampa Bay. That's what made the difference in both of those games, is they, you know, they were able to get the ball, get extra possessions from the Lions and the Buccaneers. Same with the Eagles. And so, because the Rams defense played well. I mean, whatever, Saquon broke one off late. But, you know, overall, I thought that loss wasn't on the Rams defense.
Totally, man. And I think Carter kind of took over late in that game and just got Stafford on the ground. What do you think, and I know how wired in you are around the league, how healthy do you think Jalen Hurts is?
I don't think he's healthy at all. And so that's going to be one of the things. Like, I think you noticed in the second Philadelphia game, that, you know, we overall did a pretty good job of containing Saquon. I know we broke the late one, but the second game, he broke a late one in the first one. In the second game, the comeback game, once Jalen Hurts went out and Kenny Pickett came in, we did a pretty good job of containing Saquon because that RPO wasn't nearly as effective. You didn't have the threat of Jalen Hurts keeping it and running 20, 30, 40 yards himself. And so I think if I was, you know, DQ and Joe Witt or whatever, I might say, like, I'm going to make Jalen Hurts prove to me that he's healthy enough to keep it and run. And I'm going to pretend that he's not this threat. And I'm just going to focus on Saquon. And, you know, if Jalen breaks off a long one and we're like, okay, he's healthy, and then we can adjust. But I don't think he is. I think he's going to be out there at less than 100%, which is obviously not only an advantage to the Commanders, but I think does hurt their run game, because their O-line is great, Barkley's great, but just the threat of Hurts and that RPO style of offense that they run is something that also springs Barkley for some of these big runs.
Totally.
Yeah.
How do you feel? So, Matthew, I don't know if you'll agree with this, but I know you are a serious lifelong Burgundy and Gold fan. I wanted them to get Tampa in the first round because I thought they could beat Tampa. Frankly, by the time we got down there and I saw the crowd and I could feel the vibe, I thought they would beat Tampa. Going to Detroit, I liked their chances because I just thought that Detroit defense wasn't good enough to slow down Jaden and an explosive offense. Going into Philly, I don't know what's going to happen. Did you feel some similar confidence in the first two, and how do you feel about this one?
I did. I felt very similar in confidence that on Football Night in America, I made my best bet. I do parlays and bets, and my best bet against the Tampa Bay was Commanders money line. And as part of my parlay, one of my lines was Commanders plus +3. I was just like, I think they're winning this game. I think they're the better team. Tampa Bay's got the home game because they, you know, it took them to the last week to win the worst division in football. Commanders won a couple more games. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and then Detroit, same thing. I thought their defense was so beat up. And I said, I thought it was crazy that the line opened at 9.5. And like, Commanders haven't lost a game by more than 8 points all year long. The last game they lost by more than 8 points was week 1 against the Bucs.
That's crazy.
So the fact that this game on Sunday, like, I like the Commanders to cover if you want to just talk, you know, sports betting for a second.
Sure.
I know a lot of people like the Eagles getting the points, but giving the points, I'm sorry. But I disagree. I don't think they get blown out of this game. I don't think the Commanders do. I felt that way. And going into Detroit, I said, if they can turn it into a track meet, they've got a chance because their defense isn't great. We won 3 straight road games, but this will be our first road game outdoors in bad weather, in cold weather, right? Because the Tampa Bay game was nice weather and Detroit was indoors. So I'm nervous about that, and I'm nervous about the third time. I still just sort of, again, this might be me looking through the burgundy and rose-colored glasses, but I think we win, man. Like, I don't feel super confident about it. I felt much more confident the previous 2 games, but I think we win. I think we, you know, we are playing at a higher level. And when it comes down to those clutch moments, give me Jaden Daniel over Jalen Hurts. Give me DQ over Nick Sirianni. When it comes down to those, you know, got to have it moments. They're a fantastic team. Howie Roseman's done a great job. And, like, I don't mean to denigrate them. Jalen Hurts is still, like, a top 12 quarterback in the NFL. Like, he's just not 5.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I feel like you, Matthew, and I'm also hoping we get a little bit little love from the universe because that day is January 26th, and I remember that day very vividly. 1992.
I bet. I mean, as do I. Not as well as you, but I mean, I do, man. Believe me. I will say this. You know, JP, you talk about me sort of on a national level, right? I will say this. I think the Commanders are being universally rooted for, right? I don't think anyone wants to see a Chiefs or Eagles rematch Super Bowl. I think everyone wants to see the Bills get there, and everyone wants to see the Commanders get there outside of the greater Philadelphia and Kansas City areas.
Agreed,
you know, just I think nationally, both the Bills and the Commanders have just extremely high approval ratings. It's such a great story with Jaden Daniels. You know, I don't know if you saw this, but I forget who put it out. Somebody from Good Morning Football put this tweet out, which is of all the rookie quarterbacks, I apologize, but of all the rookie quarterbacks that have played in a championship game, an NFC or AFC championship game, he put out like what their defensive ranks were. You know, and Sanchez, Brock Purdy, Roethlisberger, Sean King with the Buccaneers, all these guys, all of them had a top 3 defense that year. Jaden Daniels has got defense number 18.
Says
like,
a lot.
You know, what he's done, and also, again, like, you know, again, because I think every one of the Commanders has played well, but give me Jaden Daniels behind the Lions offensive line. Give me Jaden Daniels behind the Eagles offensive line, and let me see what he could do.
Those weapons.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
I totally agree. This season for the Burgundy and Gold feels like there is a level of momentum and just some intangible stuff that you can't necessarily quantify, but whatever that is, they've got it.
Yeah.
You could make an argument, JP. Again, I mean no disrespect because I love all of our coaches, but you could make an argument. I've made this point on my show before. That Jaden Daniels, who last year at LSU played with Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas Jr. as his 2 best wide receivers, is actually playing with a worse supporting cast this year in Washington than he did last year at college.
That's crazy.
Yeah. All 3 of them up for that. Rookie of the Year, too.
That's crazy.
All 3 of them on the top 5 Rookie of the Year list.
That's a great point. Matthew, man, thank you for making time
Appreciate you, Matt, dude.
This was a lot of fun, and maybe we'll have to do it again in New Orleans.
I would absolutely love that. I'm going to be praying, guys, but appreciate the time. It's always a thrill to talk Commanders. And JP, I always thank you whenever I have a Commanders question. I just text JP privately. And so I appreciate you always answering my texts and giving into my fandom as well. You've been a good friend for a long time. So appreciate anytime. You guys. And, you know, hail the Commanders. Hail victory.
All right. Hi, thank you, man.
Take care, man.
Matthew Berry, NBC Sports, Sunday Night Football, talented Mr. Roto, fantasylife.com, all of it. That dude has built an empire and is really, really good at his job and a really, really nice human. Really glad we got to have Matthew on. I can only imagine how amped up he is going to be for that game on Sunday.